Hello, and welcome back to Reservoir's Bible Guide podcast for Lent 2018. This year, during the Lenten season, we're exploring the book of Revelation, focusing on our identity as children of God in a fractured world, and looking for hope as we resist the worst of our times and let Jesus center us. My name is Helen Lee, and I'm on staff here at Reservoir Church. This year's Bible Guide was written by Steve Watson, senior pastor at Reservoir, and I'm happy to share it with you here in podcast form. Thanks for joining us. A reading from Revelation, chapter 2, verse 12 through 29. And to the angel of the church in Pergamum write, "These are the words of him who has the sharp two-edged sword. I know where you are and living, where Satan's throne is. Yet you are holding fast to my name, and you did not deny your faith in me, even in the days of Antipas, my witness, my faithful one who was killed among you, where Satan lives. But I have a few things against you. You have some there who hold to the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the people of Israel, so that they would eat food sacrificed to idols and practice fornication. So you also have some who hold to the teaching of the Nicolaitans. Repent then. If not, I will come to you soon and make war against them with the sword of my mouth. Let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. To everyone who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give a white stone. And on the white stone is written a new name that no one knows except the one who receives it. And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, These are the words of the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, and whose feet are like burnished bronze. I know your works, your love, faith, service, and patient endurance. I know that your last works are greater than the first. But I have this against you. You tolerate that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophet, and is teaching and beguiling my servants to practice fornication and to eat food sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, but she refuses to repent of her fornication. Beware, I am throwing her on a bed, and those who commit adultery with her I am throwing into great distress, unless they repent of her doings. And I will strike her children dead. And all the churches will know that I am the one who searches minds and hearts, and I will give to each of you as your works deserve. But to the rest of you in Thyatira, who do not hold this teaching, who have not learned what some call the deep things of Satan, to you I say, I do not lay on you any other burden. Only hold fast to what you have until I come. To everyone who conquers and continues to do my works to the end, I will give authority over the nations to rule them with an iron rod, as when clay pots are shattered, even as I also received authority from my Father. To the one who conquers, I will also give the morning star. Let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches." Some points of interest here. Pergamum, where Satan's throne is. Also a large city, Pergamum was also known for its Roman influence and emperor worship and had a huge and famous altar to Zeus, perhaps what John indelicately labels Antipas, my witness. This is the one city that has already seen a follower of Jesus die for his faith, perhaps accused as an early atheist because he didn't participate in Rome's omnipresent civic religious activities. Balaam and the Nicolaitans. Whoever these people are, they are bad, bad influences. The second group is obscure, but the first name is not. It refers to an old story in the book of Numbers of a non-Jewish spiritual leader who opposes Israel and leads them into trouble. These names appear to be codes or symbols for people in Pergamum who advise conformity with the civic religion of Rome, which would include idolatry and immorality as a cost of participation. Perhaps we could examine what function as the civic religions of our time, such as America First nationalism or materialism or educational and career excellence. Where do our civic religions lead us away from the voice and teaching of Jesus? Make war against them with the sword of my mouth. Jesus' remedy isn't physical violence. After all, the sword is that sword that comes out of his mouth, a metaphor for the piercing and powerful words of Jesus. Jesus' voice is a piercing antidote to our allegiances and loyalties to other things. hidden manna. Legend had it, some of the miracle food from heaven described centuries earlier in Exodus had been stored up for God's people at the end of the age. Taken as symbol, the invitation is for God to provide what is more satisfying and nutritious than what your empire of choice has on tap. A white stone. Another apocalyptic hope is that in God, we will fully know who we are and discover that it is fully good. As someone who's paying a therapist as part of my own self-acceptance journey, I get this. Neither Roman armies nor American materialism can give me satisfaction, nourishment, self-acceptance, peace, and love. The Spirit says that Jesus can. Thyatira. This inland city had less Roman connection, but was known for its trade guilds that governed economic life. As with Roman civic religion, these trade guilds practiced feasts that included some connection to worship of other gods. Participation was one of the costs of economic flourishing. Jezebel. Here, the personification of selling out to empire or other gods is the infamous queen from the narrative of 1 and 2 Kings. This is one of several times that scripture uses sexual infidelity and prostitution as a metaphor for unfaithfulness to God. This language strikes many of us today as misogynist and violent. It helps me to notice and push back on that. The underlying message, I think, holds. Part of our soul are bound up with the cultural religion we're assimilated into. Some of my tax money pays for bomb drones drop in Afghanistan. Some of my brain is colonized by the empty promises of America's mass marketing industry. Some of my sexuality is flavored by all the sex-soaked media I've seen. Some of my hopes and heart are owned by my country's sense of entitlement. And Jesus says this costs me. Give authority over the nations, the morning star. Jesus invites God's children to hold fast to God in the middle of all this, whatever it costs. We'll lose prospects for wealth, but we'll gain an immortal authority, signified by two things: joining God in God's rule and receiving the morning star, which can represent eternal life or the dawning presence of Jesus with us. Is this a present tense in our hearts kind of promise? A future tense new heavens and a new earth thing? I don't know. A spiritual exercise. What might the Spirit of God be saying to you through today's passage? Has anything struck your mind or heart? Looking back over the past 24 hours, your highs and lows, times of joy or sorrow, presence or distraction, anxiety or peace, has the Spirit of God spoken to you through your life or through any other person? Pay attention for a moment. Listen and ask God how you can respond to whatever comes to mind. And a suggestion for prayer. How does some aspect of your everyday life, your job, your commercial activity, your entertainment consumption, impact your attention or soul and pull you away from God? What might a shift, a turn, repentance look like? That's all for today's Bible Guide. I've been Helen Lee, on staff here at Reservoir Church. Many thanks to Steve Watson for writing this Bible Guide. Join us tomorrow for the next installation.